You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Opening day is still a few months away, but it's never too soon to start talking about the 2017 season. Let's talk about the Texas Rangers with T.R. Sullivan. I'm Allison Sutter. T.R., looking ahead, I call this a very winnable division. The AL West, I think, probably is as wide open as really any division out there. When you look at the Rangers, kind of where they're headed, what they've lost, and the state of their farm system, what do you see in 2017 as being sort of a realistic season for the Rangers?
Well, I think they're going to go in there trying to win another division title. I don't know if they're, at this point, they're ready to be proclaimed as a serious World Series contender. I think the $100,000 question, as we all know, going into the new year, is whether or not they're going to get another bat in the middle of the lineup. We all know the names that are out there. Edwin Encarnacion is at the top of the list. From what I've heard, the Rangers are not really pursuing him. The price is too high. Right now, they're not really into going for one of the big bats that are out there. Again, Mike Napoli is out there. Mark Trumbo is out there. Chris Carter. You know, some interesting names, some guys who would definitely fit on the Rangers. There's no question they could use any one of those four guys as their DH or part-time first baseman or however they want to deploy their lineup. The question is, are they going to pull the trigger? I think they will. I just don't know who it'll be. But last year, you know, it was kind of funny. You know, they went into the season with Prince Fielder as their designated hitter, and Mitch Moreland locked in at first base. And right at the beginning of spring training, they signed Ike Davis to a minor league contract for depth at first base. So if they were going to do that last year when they were obviously set this year with no real certainty at either DH or first base, I think at some point they're going to pull the trigger and get some help, you know, for the middle of the lineup, whether it's a big name like Encarnacion, if his price comes down, a reunion with Mike Napoli, or, you know, some long shot, who knows. But I got to believe they're going to have more offense before this offseason is over.
When you look at the rotation, kind of how do you see it? I obviously, we were covering the division series last year. We saw a very poor performances by just about anybody who was given a chance to start in the very short division series. But you know, where do you see it kind of heading into next year? Everyone's a little bit older. A lot of innings on a lot of those arms. How do you see the rotation?
Yeah, I think Cole Hamels moving into the second half of his career, if he's not already there, you know. The two guys, obviously, are Yu Darvish and Martin Perez. They both had Tommy John surgery a couple years ago. They should be at full strength now, no excuses. Perez is still young, still learning to pitch, still learning to control his emotions. 2016, he was fabulous at the ballpark in Arlington. He was terrible on the road. If he pitches on the road like he did at the ballpark in Arlington, he's going to be outstanding. And then Darvish, you know, we all know how great he can be, you know. We know the talent. This is his free agent year, his walk year. Obviously, the big question is if the Rangers are going to re-sign him or not. You know, nobody really knows right now. You know, those two guys are obviously huge for the Rangers. You know, Cole Hamels will be fine. He'll be a 15-game winner or in that neighborhood. A lot of questions about Andrew Kashner, their big free agent signing. A lot of talent there. Obviously, the results haven't been what he's wanted to this point in his career. Rangers are banking on him to really have a good year. And you know, the fifth starter spot right now is between A.J. Griffin and Nick Martinez. I still think they may sign another pitcher at least to compete for that fifth spot.
Yeah, and so looking at the division, like you say, their goal is obviously to win a division again. We've talked about this in the past, but let's revisit it. Just as far as, I mean, the Mariners are always kind of in there somewhere, hanging around, making it interesting. The Astros obviously have done a lot to improve their offense, not so much their pitching, and the Rangers just owned them last year. And it's interesting because if the Astros had just won maybe five more games against the Rangers, it would have been a lot more interesting down the stretch. Would you agree that this is one of the most wide-open divisions where there's really not a clear favorite?
You know, I would agree with that 100%. You know, we know Seattle's going to be very, very good. I think they're really, to me right now, they may be the early favorite. You know, their lineup is really solid. They could use one more bat like the Rangers. They got Felix Hernandez at the head of their rotation. You know, the Astros have really done a nice job with their offense. I think they're going to be a lot better offensive team. I don't know if they've helped their pitching staff that much yet. I think that's still a big question mark with the Astros is how much more they're going to improve their pitching. The Angels have just been almost silent this whole offseason, very quiet. We know their payroll is pretty bloated. We know they're still paying Josh Hamilton, who could end up back with the Rangers. You know, they got some pitchers that need to get healthy, and Oakland's still rebuilding. You know, I think who's going to be the favorite is going to be the team that makes one or two more moves before the offseason is over, whether it's the Astros with their pitching or the Rangers with their offense or what the Mariners might do or if the Angels come out of hibernation, who knows. But I still think there's every team in this division still has one or two moves left to be made.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's going to be a very interesting season. Okay, TR, thank you so much. Happy New Year. We'll catch up with you in January.
Okay, guys, thank you.
Spring training is not that far away now that 2017 is upon us. Let's talk to Jane Lee about the Oakland Athletics. I am Allison Footer. Jane, just looking ahead kind of to pitchers and catchers reporting and the A's, you know, attempting to not finish in last place this upcoming season. It could be sort of transitional year for them. It seemed like the pitching really sort of came together as much as they could have expected or maybe exceeded expectations in 2016. So is that probably where we should find the most optimism heading into 2017?
Yeah, the A's have always been an organization that have relied on their pitching. And, I mean, although it took a big hit last year with just so many injuries, I think they're most excited about the depth that they have in the group going into next year. It's a lot of young depth, and it's a lot of unknown talent, but a ton of talent with high upside. I mean, we saw guys like Jarrell Cotton, Sean Manaea, Daniel Mingden had a pretty good stretch for a while. There's so many guys in their system right now, several that they got back in the Josh Reddick, Rich Hill trade with the Dodgers, not only Cotton, but Frankie Montas. A lot of guys are going to be competing for spots going into spring training. And beyond that group, you know, they obviously already have Sonny Gray, and they're pretty confident that he'll be back to his old self next year. And behind him, I mean, Kendall Graveman, I think a lot of people forget, you know, just how much he stepped up last year in place of Gray, just with Sonny's struggles and health issues. And Manaea, I think they see as, you know, someone who could be at the front of the rotation for a long time. And he just had, I mean, he had a fantastic second half, really just improved every step of the way last season, which is what you want to see from a young guy like him. And I know that they were very excited about what Jarrell Cotton did in September. And there's just a slew of options behind them. I mean, so many guys to mention, and I think a lot of them, if not all of them, will be fighting for, you know, a fourth or fifth spot in the rotation. And as we know, so many things can happen during spring training and throughout the course of the season, and you usually end up seeing all of those guys by the time the year closes out. And I know that the A's, you know, strongly believe that they can never, ever have enough depth. And I know that they have a ton right now, and they're also not afraid to add more. So ahead of spring training, I really wouldn't be surprised if they tried to bring in a veteran starter, a low-cost veteran starter. That's something they've been very good at in past years, just finding those gems. I mean, you look at Rich Hill, his journey, and I mean, it's kind of amazing that they, you know, took such a big risk on him, and now he's, you know, sitting on a 3-year contract with the Dodgers, and before him Scott Kazmir. So they've always done well in finding guys like that, and I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to do so again.
So it sounds like they have a little bit more to protect themselves against injuries. You know, you're speaking on the depth, so it sounds like they'll be a little bit more prepared. Like you said, they need, you know, the season starts with 25-man roster, but they end up meeting close to the 40. And so it sounds like they will have a little bit more of a backup plan in case of the inevitable injuries that every team experiences.
Yeah, I mean, they have backups for their backups for their backups, and I think every team goes into each season, you know, trying to be prepared, and you can only do so much, and just when you think you have enough, you know, it all goes away. And the A's saw that so quickly last year. I mean, they came into camp what felt like in a similar situation. I mean, I think I remember counting off nearly, 10 names last year that, could have been in their rotation. And by the time the season opened, I mean, they were down to four or five and really searching for outside help within their farm system. And it was kind of remarkable. I mean, just to watch them piece together a rotation. And this wasn't just in August and September. I mean, they were trying to do this in May, June, July, essentially all season. So you can only do so much. I think that they have done well, especially in the trades that they've made in recent years, bringing back more pitching, just kind of restocking there. And, you look going into next season and there are a ton of options and, you hope that it works out. But, I mean, like we saw last year, you just never really know.
So you think that maybe 2018 could be a target for sort of coming out of this and being competitive again?
I think that they could definitely be competitive. I don't know about, actually contending, just because I think their division is very strong. You look at what, everyone's doing around them, be it the Astros, the Rangers, the Mariners. And I do think that the Angels are going to be better next year as well. I think a lot of those teams aren't just going to be good next year. They've built themselves up to be very good, notably the Astros, for years to come. So I think, the A's not only have, catching up to do, but when they do put themselves in position to be competitive, they're going to be facing a tough division. So, it won't be easy, but I think that, they're at least right now confident in this core group of young guys that they have, and it'll be interesting to see if, they stick with this plan. I know that they get a little antsy. They never like to use the term rebuilding. They always like to believe that they're trying to be competitive, but, it seems at least right now that going into next year, they are taking a little bit more of a realistic approach, being patient with these young guys, letting them go through some growing pains maybe, and in hopes that, in whether it be in 2018 or 19, that it is a strong group that can compete with the rest of the division.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you, Jane. Happy New Year. Talk to you in January.
All right, sounds good.
The new year is upon us, which means it is time to start talking about the 2017 season. Let's talk about the Houston Astros with Brian McTaggart. I am Alice at Twitter. Tags, lots to be enthusiastic about going into 2017. There's still some work that they need to do on the pitching side, but what a lineup they have put together. As you were watching all of this unfold with the trades and the deals that they made, what were you thinking when it came to this offense?
Well, you knew they were targeting Brian McCann. You knew they were targeting Reddick, and then to get them so quickly, really within a couple of days of each other, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, this is a couple of impact veteran left-handed bats. This is a good lineup. And then they go out and get Beltran, who brings all kinds of things to the table. And now you got a lineup. They've addressed their left-handed problem. All the good hitters last year that didn't get injured were right-handers. They've addressed the left-hander problem. They've got switch hitters. They got some power. They have a little of everything now, adding these guys. So, 1 through 9, it's a strong lineup. It's a versatile lineup. AJ can do a lot of different things. He can bat Bregman second. He can bat Beltran second if he wants, Reddick second. He can bat some of these guys lower in the order. Some of these guys have probably never hit sixth or seventh in their life, and they're probably going to have to just because the lineup is so deep. And it's just a very nice problem to have, and they've really set themselves up to be a tough lineup for any pitcher to try to get through because there's going to be no easy outs. There's going to be a lot of good at-bats up and down that lineup, and that's kind of what they set out to do. Nori Aoki, I know he's kind of under the radar guy as well, but offensively doesn't strike out, puts the bat on the ball, and they've kind of come full circle from where they were a couple of years ago when all they had were guys who struck out a lot and hit home runs. Now they certainly have guys that make high contact rates and don't strike out as much.
Yeah, so now that they have all of that worked out, what about the pitching side? You and I kind of disagree, but I just don't think the starting rotation is strong enough to really be a championship caliber to contribute to a championship caliber team. You seem to think that they might be okay, but a lot of things have to go well with the top two guys of that rotation.
Yeah, they do, but if you look, it's pretty much the same rotation they had a couple of years ago when they were, you know, a couple outs away from finishing off the Royals, who went on to win the World Series. Now, if they match up against the Red Sox, you know, they're going to be, you know, depending on what happens in the season, but, you know, right now, if they matched up against the Red Sox on paper, their top two, three pitchers, you know, don't stack up to what the Red Sox have, one, two, three. So, yeah, you know, I do think they're going to try to add another pitcher, but, you know, Dallas Keuchel came out a couple of weeks ago or last week and said that he didn't really feel healthy coming out of spring training, and he tried to pitch through it. And to me, that's a good news, I think, if you're Astros fan, because maybe that can explain, you know, why he struggled so mightily in the first half, is that he just didn't feel right and was trying to push through some things, because, you know, he put together two or three pretty solid seasons in a row, and you're just wondering what was going on with him. And I think the fact that he wasn't healthy and he's had, you know, a full off season to relax and get healthy. He didn't pitch in September. He's going to come back very rested and I think very eager. And I think he could be poised to be the Dallas Keuchel of 2015. You know, McCullers is another guy, you know, if he's healthy, McCullers and Keuchel, 1-2, I think stack up against anybody. And McHugh, very dependable, solid arm, 3-4 spot in the rotation. So, you know, and, you know, Morton is Morton. I don't think you know what you're going to get from him. Joe Musgrove is great upside. So I think people are maybe underselling the rotation a little bit. Yeah, it could be better, but I think it's a top 7-8 rotation, and maybe in baseball, I could be wrong, but you know, I think it's a rotation with that lineup you can go to battle with, and July comes around and you think you need that other arm, they can go out and make a deal.
All right, well, you have me kind of convinced, and I guess it's time for me to I don't know why I still am so hesitant to give Colin McHugh credit for I don't know. I just feel like at some point this, like, really amazing run that he's been on is going to subside a little bit. But he really has. I mean, kudos to him. He's really been such a solid person in that rotation for a pretty long time now.
Yeah, he's had three. You know, he's regressed a little bit in each one of the years. I mean, he came on with a really strong year in 14, kind of out of the blue, and then, you know, won 19 games in 15. And his ERA is going to tick higher every year. But, you know, for the most part, you know what you're going to get with him. And he's another guy that works hard, and you can trust when he takes the ball. You know, he had that terrible start the year last year in New York. And, you know, he kind of had to battle back from that a little bit stat-wise. But, you know, I think you're okay with if McHugh's your third starter. I think you feel really, really good about that. He's 30, 31 years old. He's been around the league a few times now, knows how to get guys out, is always working to improve. You know, I don't think you'd want to roll out there with him as your ace, but as your 3-4 guy, I mean, that's better than a lot of teams, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, it could be a pretty good year for the Houston Astros in 2017. Tex, thank you very much. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you in January.
All right, Happy New Year.
Now that the new year is upon us, it is time to start looking ahead to pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training, and that includes the Anaheim Angels, who will be heading out to Arizona. Before we know it, let's talk about 2017 with Richard Justice. I'm Allison Sutter. Richard, so the Angels, amazingly enough, according to Fangraphs, have a very optimistic approach to what the Angels might be able to do this upcoming season. I have my doubts that it's going to come back together for them that quickly, but What was the projection approximately, and do you agree with it?
I do agree with it. But like everything, it's a projection. And when you project Seattle, you're saying, okay, we're going to get this out of King Felix. We're going to get this out of Iwakuma. When you project the Astros, you're saying Keuchel and McCullers are going to be X, Y, and Z, the Rangers, Darvish. And so that it's that with the Angels. Fangraphs has them as with the fourth best record in the AL at 85 wins, not the Astros, who are projected at 90. So you can go 74 wins 1 year back to 85. How do you do that? How did they improve so much? Some of it will be internal, but they have improved this offseason. They had one of the five best defenses in baseball last year. I think everybody that saw them would agree. And they've gotten a lot better defensively, even better than that. I don't know if they're going to be the best defensive team in baseball next season, but they're going to be in the conversation. You go out and you get Danny Espinosa to play second, and now you've got Andrelton Simmons, one of the better defensive shortstops in the game. Espinosa's got one of the great throwing arms you'll ever see in an infielder, and that makes you pretty good right up the middle there. And Billy Epler said those some of the things he learned from Gene Michael and Bill Livesey and those guys at the Yankees is that when you're above average up the middle, you've got a chance to compete. And then they had Mike Trout in center field. They got Cameron Maben, who is a center fielder. They got him to from the Tigers to play left field. So you look at that outfield and say they're going to be pretty good. And a guy that's going to get will get overlooked is Martin Maldonado. They reacquired him because they originally drafted him from the Brewers to be their backup catcher. But he may have the best throwing arm in the game other than maybe Sanchez in New York or somebody like that. So on days when you've got Sanchez and Simmons and Espinosa and Trout, you're looking at a team that is going to make their pitching staff a lot better. Again, though, you know, if Garrett Richards, they need Richards and Shoemaker and Skaggs to go out there and make 100 starts. And in terms of Richards, you know, we thought at the end of last year he was headed for Tommy John surgery. So is that realistic? I don't know if it's realistic, but it's what you base projections on. They have acquired a lot of – they have like 8 veteran starters. They're going to move Ramirez there. They've got a chance, but Garrett Richards is a big if, and that means the club is going to be a big if.
Yeah, you have this interesting Billy Epler quote. You trade it for 2 paper clips, trade that for a pencil, then for a pen, and so on. It's a slow build, but as long as there's momentum and we continue to push, we'll get there. So I guess there's a lot of truth in that kind of you have to be patient when you're in a situation like a general manager is, and you just have to kind of build off of one thing and then let it build from there.
Yeah, the worst thing is I remember Ed Wade used to say that Paul Owens would say, his mentor in Philadelphia, would say, do whatever you can to get better today. Don't sit around and wring your hands and say, you know what, we don't have as much money as the Yankees and we don't have as deep a farm system as the Red Sox. Big deal. Do what you can to get better today. And that's what I think he did in getting Espinosa. He didn't rush out. He couldn't go get Brian Dozier. Neil Walker turned out not to be available on the free agent market. And he waited for Danny Espinosa to become available from the Nationals, and he made that deal. The Tigers were in a payroll-cutting mode, and he was able to go get Cameron Maben, you know, and made that deal with the Brewers for Martin Maldonado. So you just do what you can. But, you know, and Billy went there. He knew that what shape the farm system was in and that we got to have good drafts. And all indications are they had a good 2016 draft, but, you know, every team is saying that right now. As you look ahead three or four years, down the road. But that's the attitude you appreciate. And when you're around Billy, you understand that. He's an upbeat guy. He knows that Mike Socia is a strong-willed guy that has a lot of opinions, and you've got to mold your organization to what Mike wants to do. And one of the things he has done is, you know, when Mike is at his best, when they won the championship, that first year in 2002, that year they won the championship, Mike had a little fine system set up in spring training for guys that didn't take the extra base, the guys that weren't trying to force the action on the bases, score from second on improbable situations, get thrown out on the bases at times. But part of that is being aggressive baseball and letting the other team know we're going to take it to you. And I think in getting Maben who can run and getting Espinosa who can run a little bit, they're sort of getting back, and obviously Trout can do that. They're sort of getting back or getting to the way Mike Socia wants them to play.
Okay, good stuff. Richard, thank you so much. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you in January.
Thanks. Same to you.
Still a few months left until opening day, of course, but it's never too early to start looking at the 2017 season and start previewing what we might expect from our favorite teams. Let's talk about the Seattle Mariners. Greg Johns, I'm Allison Fitter. Greg, so I feel pretty optimistic about the Mariners for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think they have a pretty good team. And number two, they play an extremely winnable division. There's really nobody who stands out as like, oh, they're just going to dominate this division again. So what can we look for with the Mariners in 2017? Like when you look at how things are structured now, what gives you the most optimism?
Well, I think their offense is really going to be interesting to watch, and starting with Gene Segura, the shortstop that Jerry Depoto went out and got, and that's a key piece to this team. I mean, they had that nucleus that we've talked about so often with Cano, Cruz, and Seager in the middle, and just need that engine kind of at the top, and that's what they're counting on Gene Segura to be. I don't know that he'll live up, and I don't know that they expect him to live up to the numbers he put up in Arizona last year. It was a pretty hitter-friendly thing, and he had a really stunning year. Led the National League in hits, and I think he stole 33 bags as well. They expect him to be that get on base guy though that can kind of spark that offense. And if those guys in the middle live up to what they've done in the past, and which you certainly would expect them to do, and they get a little deeper lineup, they expect to be more athletic, and guys that can run a little bit with Ben Gamel, Mitch Haniger, I expect to be getting some playing time out in the outfield. You know, they like Leonis Martin down at the bottom of the order that got a little thump and can run. If you start talking about a 1-9 lineup, it could be pretty interesting. I think that's going to be the fun thing to watch. And of course, you know, once you get that offense, then you got to get the pitching to go with it. So that's kind of remains the question mark if they can have the depth and through that rotation, which DePoto's still working on to add another piece there as we speak. So should be definitely an interesting 2017 with the team that just missed the playoffs last year and just trying to get over that hump.
Yeah, nothing would shock me at DePoto. I mean, as we talked about, he is not shy about making moves. So as far as getting a starting pitcher, even though they just traded one away, as we've laughed about, but yes, they do need one. And I would say that if we had to place large amounts of money on this, of course we don't because we don't bet on baseball, that he probably is going to go out and get somebody at some point.
Yeah, there's no question that as we stand here today anyway, that market is kind of on hold. The free agents, it's a tough year for free agent pitching. They're pretty thin, and I think they're waiting to see if things come down a little bit with some guys. I think DePoto always prefers to trade, and if he can do that, I think he would do that. But again, teams that have pitching, they don't want to give it up easily, and the prices are high. So kind of a waiting game for a lot of different teams, and they're kind of in the middle of that. But they'll definitely get another starter here before we get to spring training. I don't doubt that at all. Already five deep there. They just want to get a little deeper, maybe add a little quality in the middle of that rotation.
I would think that they have to feel pretty optimistic about their chances to compete the division. I mean, we've discussed this, but it seems like the Astros, Rangers, Mariners, you can make a case for all of them to be able to win this division. I don't see anybody as being really that much more superior to anybody else. So the Mariners, if everything kind of falls into place, they should have a pretty good shot at this thing.
They should, and the one thing they've got to do better, and they know it, is play better against those division teams. You know, they've struggled with Houston in the past few years. They've gone into Texas and had trouble, as many teams do. I mean, those are good teams, and they're certainly not easy. If Seattle's going to win this division, they've got to play better against their own division, and they know that.
Okay, Greg, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll catch up with you soon.
You bet, Allison. Let's have a good new year.
Absolutely, thanks.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.